The KJ Wright Show
on Seattle Sports.
The ball is intercepted. KJ Wright reaches up about 13 feet in the air.
Number 50.
Now every Wednesday with Rock and Song.
How y'all like that?
Brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino.
It's KJ Wright time. I just got to put a smile on everybody's face. And I'm sorry to tell you that, Kathy just came by. I don't know. She was a little upset that I was revealing contract details out on the air. So I'm sorry about that, Brock.
What do you expect?
I know. Well, hey, I'm sorry, Kathy. Hey, hold on. We gotta make sure KJ's mic is up there. We got the wrong mic up. Hold on. Let's get KJ going here. KJ, we got you. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold on.
Hold on.
We don't have KJ. You know what happened there, Brock? I think that Rob was filling in on the board today. I think he heard KJ curse during his halftime speech the other day. And this was just sort of making sure that we have KJ.
The delay, the dumb button's good.
Right. Want to make sure everything's set up in case he starts cursing like he did in front of all those people.
KJ. Not on this show.
Did you get a call from your mom after that?
She didn't, surprisingly.
Yeah. KJ, you represent the right family.
She surprisingly, I did not hear from my mom when I said the A word in front of 70,000 people. Son, but she didn't do it though.
Oh,
but
maybe,
I had to get,
she didn't hear it.
She heard it.
She's like, I'm not watching.
She hears everything.
She's like, I'm done.
But KJ, was the blood pumping?
Oh, juices were flowing. I was around my guys. Like, hey, fellas, this is our moment. It's our time. If anybody's going to bring this energy, I'm going to bring it and remind these people who we were, what we stood for. We are the champs. We built this stadium, and so I had to bring it.
All right, well, hold on. Let's dig into this a little bit. We're going to take the first few minutes and dig into that before we get into the game and Geno and the defense and all the good stuff that happened this week, and there was a lot of it, Bobby, et cetera. Who did you see? Like, who did you see? We asked Pete, and he was excited to see Sweezy, he mentioned, McQuiston, and somebody else that he hadn't seen in a while.
Sweezy is looking like a tight end.
Yeah.
And he has this nice man bun going on, so it was really good to see Sweezy. Paul McQuiston.
Yeah.
A guy I have not seen since 2013. He's looking good. Byron Maxwell, I haven't seen since God knows when.
What's he doing?
In Florida.
Okay.
Working out every day, chilling, taking care of
just in case someone needs him?
No. Oh, okay. No. God, no.
Just trying to stay ready.
That's not happening. I saw him. The man of the hour was Brandon Meebane. We all know his weight loss journey.
You
He's
guys
lost
love
like
Meebane.
60 pounds.
What?
He was looking like President Obama out there. He had a suit with a turtleneck. Breno Giacomini did not let go. He did not let go of the Lombardi trophy. He walked around with that thing all night, taking shots. Lombardi Trophy, taking shots. So, Breno Giacomini, he had a really good weekend.
Okay. Max come in for this?
No, Max is coaching.
Okay.
We know Max is coaching. He's in Hawaii.
Okay.
And I had a bone to pick with some guys. Some guys, me. I'm going to call a spade a spade.
Who did you have a bone to pick
with? I'm not going to say their names.
Oh, okay.
But some guys did not attend for whatever reason.
This like are personal reasons, you think? Like that type of thing?
I think like salty reasons.
Okay.
Maybe you got...
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah, maybe you got fired and you don't want to see certain people. Okay. That's just my own assumption.
Okay.
Yeah. And
maybe you flip someone off as you were leaving, that type of thing. I mean, like that seems...
I wasn't thinking that.
But I don't know. I just say every once in a while these things happen, right? You can't make it back after that.
But the guys that were here, it was such a fun time. We just hung out.
So what do you talk about? When all you guys get together, I'm sure you had some sort of a dinner party, that whole thing. Mm-hmm. What do you guys talk about? Do you reminisce on that season? Do you reminisce on other fun things? Are you catching up on what people are up to now? I know you've talked about some of the challenges emotionally and dealing with not playing anymore. Do you guys, get real and talk through that type of stuff? What is going on back there?
Absolutely. And what happens is we're all around each other, but you break out into little pods and you're like, hey, how you doing? How you holding up? And guys have real authentic conversations and we express how we miss the locker room, how we miss each other, how we want to go work and get a full-time job, but we're afraid of leaving our families full-time. And so I was watching the game with Clint McDonald, who was watching the Super Bowl. And I was like...
Underrated player, by the way.
Oh, yeah. He was
super underrated player.
And I made a tackle in the Super Bowl, and truck driver came and grabbed my shoulder like he was my dad, and he whispered something in my ear. I was like, hey, bro, you remember what you said to me right there? He's like, no, what I said. And like we're watching the Super Bowl together 10 years with his pregnant wife, and just going down memory lane. And so
Is there a big group text?
Hey, you're hawking the question.
I'm sorry, but I'm fascinated by this. I'm sorry. Is there a big group text for all of those people?
Nope. Only group text I have is with my linebackers.
That's it? Mm-hmm. It feels like there should, like, you guys should have gotten onto a big group text now.
Yeah, and there is another separate text, and I may get in trouble for saying this, but the fella's like, hey, are the wives coming? Is everybody coming? I was like, yeah, they got to come the first night. But they was like, what about the second night? I was like, the second night is for the fellas. Come on now. The second night has got to be for the fellas.
Okay.
But you best believe that both Friday and Saturday and Sunday, the wives were there.
All right, Brock, I'll shut
up.
I'm sorry.
So talk to me. When did the Pied Piper walk in? When did Pete come into that? Because he said a little bit that he got to see you guys behind the scenes and in some of that. Talk to me about Pete's relationship with that crew.
So Coach Carroll was there before me. As soon as I walked in, I saw Coach Carroll at the bar talking to, I believe it was Chris Maragos at the time. Mm. I saw him socializing with everyone, and I kind of stayed back. I didn't just go up there just hog the conversation. I see him quite often. And so it was really cool to see the smile on his face, him interact with the guys that he drafted and groomed over the years. And John Schneider was there as well.
Did he come in with a belt? Was he wearing the belt, the heavyweight
champion? No, not at all. But you got to think, like, for Schneider to be there, like, these are guys that you drafted. These are also guys that you had to make some business decisions mm-hmm. with. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's all love. We did something special. Nothing else matters but being a champion at the end of the day. And so it was just cool to see everyone there mixing and mingling. Coaches.
Yeah.
You probably don't remember Sherm Smith.
Oh yeah, we do. Sherm Smith. We definitely remember Sherm Smith.
Kippy Brown.
Yeah, we had him on the show.
Yeah, the wide receiver coach, Rocky Seto came. Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful time. A beautiful moment.
That sounds like an unbelievably fun experience. You know what's going to be interesting, too, is when you do it in 10 more years. And 10 years after that. Like, they're going to keep having you guys out there.
Oh, yeah. And my goal, I was talking to Malcolm, my goal is to look the same exact way 10 years now that I look today. So
really?
I got goals, yeah.
Who looked the best?
Honestly, Sweezy looked really, really good. The man, he's always been jacked up, yoked up, but imagine him looking 250 pounds the same way. The dude,
what's he
looking
doing?
At his rear end was tight, right? He had his tight coat on. I'm telling you, he was stacked.
I believe you. You wouldn't say that if you weren't telling the truth.
He was stacked, yoked up. And so I was jealous.
All right, hold on. Let me ask you the hard question, though.
Don't do it, Salk.
You look the worst.
Don't do it, Salk.
Come on, KJ.
I'm not going there.
I know you were thinking it. I know that your linebacker was texting about it. Okay. Let himself go.
This guy can take it. I'm going to say his name. I know he can take it. But as soon as I saw him, I patted his belly. I was like, oh, what's up, Maxwell? What you been eating, my guy? What you been eating, man? And so as soon as I saw him, I patted that belly. And man, you need to ride that bike a little more. And so,
wow.
It was good.
Was Bobby there?
Bobby was there.
Oh, he was able to come. That's
Bobby
cool.
was there.
All right.
And
how was it seeing Russ? I'm sure he didn't show up. Sorry, that's my bad. They had a game.
Yeah, he's too stop obviously.
It.
I was about to make it. I'm not going.
How'd they do?
They lost
stop
by 50.
They did lose by 50. You don't stop. See that every
yeah.
day.
And just to let you in on more conversations, I know we're getting long-winded here, but I talked to Chris Maragos.
Okay.
And we all know his
special team guy, right?
Special teams demon. And we all know his story. So talking about his injury and how he's having to battle that. Mm. He had that bad injury settlement with his mm-hmm. knee. And so just connecting with guys about life and how they've been feeling. And it was really cool. Really cool.
Tony McDaniel there?
T-Mac.
Was he there?
He's a man of very few words. But heck yeah, he was there. He was there. We talked a little bit. He has going on five kids now.
That's a lot of kids.
Yeah. Corey Toomer came.
Okay. O'Brien Schofield?
OB.
He was there?
Absolutely.
Wow. Sheesh.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
I was trying to go deep.
You
and then and Malcolm Smith, as I sort of accidentally brought up last week, he raised the 12th man flag.
Malcolm raised the flag. No Russell Okun, unfortunately.
Well, he weighs 148 pounds. He's huge.
He didn't want to be tempted by all the food.
They
around.
Were cracking so many jokes on Okun. They was like, I can't crack jokes.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll get into some actual football talk. I'm sorry for the trip down memory lane, but Brock, the opportunity to hear that insight into what was going on
behind
the scenes.
You know what it reminds you of, man? You hear it said, that will never take this away from us. Right. You hear athletes say that. You hear coaches say that. You hear as hard as it is to get to that mountaintop and to win that trophy, why Brenna wouldn't give it up is because it's true. you can never take away those relationships, KJ. And thank you for a little window in to all of those guys. And I know everybody likes all of those.
That's really
stars.
Cool. A lot of suggestions that maybe Russ would have sent a video message, but it sounds like that didn't go down. All right. Coming up next, we will dig into what we all saw out on the field. It is Brock and Salk with KJ Wright, Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Let's talk to KJ here. We got so much good stuff to get to. It's the KJ Wright Show on Seattle Sports on 710salesports.com. Coming off a win, two in a row.
Mm-hmm.
KJ, let me start by asking you the question I asked Brock and Justin and everybody yesterday, and I think it'll kind of lead us into the rest of our Seahawks conversation. If you could rearrange things, would you prefer that the Seahawks had gone chalk, beating the Rams and losing to the Lions before beating Carolina?
Okay.
Or have it go the way it did, where you have an ugly loss to a team you shouldn't have lost to, followed by a really good win on the road in Detroit, and then the home win against Carolina, which is a better telling of who the team is and gives you a better sense of things?
I love the way it happened. Okay. I really love the way it happened. And you hear me say this all the time. Everything's from starts from the top and go down. The person that has to be A1, the person that has to be on the job all day, every day, is the head coach. That is first and foremost. It starts with Coach Carroll sending the message to the guys, creating the format and the structure of the week, bringing the best out of the guys on game day. It starts with him. And so when he said what he said after week one, like, I really dropped the ball. I really messed up with the way that I got the guys ready on the Saturday meeting. It starts with him setting the precedent of what the season is going to look like. And so, yes, did that week one suck? Did that hurt? 100%. You had that. Now, as a coach, I got to be on my job. If I'm not on my job, for dang sure, my players are not going to be right. And so you drop the ball to the Rams, get back to the drawing board, get back to the right game plan that you want, and it happens that way. So I love the way that happened week one.
So as much as I enjoyed story time there off the field, hearing about Truese's tight butt and man bun and how good he looked and everything else, I'm most curious about what you all saw from the suite watching this team. I would love to just hear.
Do you think they paid any attention to the game?
Yes.
No. I bet you they didn't watch two plays.
I think some did. I think some probably ate. I think some probably
mingled. Maxwell was one of them.
Stop.
He's like, hey, what's going on in the suite?
Tell me what the boys thought. Tell me what the guys thought of these young pups, because there's a lot of young players on this team, right? 41% of the team are first or second year players, something like that. What did the old vets, what did the old cagey guys up in that suite think of these young bucks?
I'm going to be honest and transparent. I'm going to let you into our suite, the legend suite, Brock Hewitt. It was the first half, and a guy screamed like, this game is boring. That's what guy said in the legendary suite. This game is boring.
Mm.
That was the first half.
Yeah.
And the second half,
they weren't wrong, by the way.
It was really boring. It was really boring. And the second half, after we went out there, it was a completely different second half. Completely different second half. And the person that really stood out on that football field that I feel like could have been on the football field with us was rookie number 21, Devin Witherspoon. And I was sitting right next to Cam, and I said, oh, Cam, you see that walk he got? He was like, I see him. Devin Witherspoon had this energy, this walk, this swag to him that I really loved on that football field. And so he was one guy that really stood out when I was sitting in that legend suite, like, hey, this dude right here, one day, he's figuring out. He's a young pup. But once he really starts to figure it out and he has that same tenacity that he brought on the football field, he's going to be a stud one day.
Now, that would have been fascinating. How would Sherm have handled a number 5 pick in the draft? How would Sherm, as a 5th rounder, handle a number 5, 20-some million
guarantee? We're going to put this kid on the other side of you?
Oh, my God. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't think he could have done it.
I don't know. How would Sherm handle being drafted number 5?
No, how would he have handled Devin Witherspoon lining up on the other side? Like, once Sherm had established himself,
right,
the Seahawks taking a number 5 pick and spending it on another corner.
Oh, he would have been fine. I think he would have been fine. You don't think so?
I don't know. Brock's the one who asked the question. Don't look at me.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He would have been just fine.
And I think that 5th round chip is still there. I think 20 years later, that 5th round chip is still there.
That's not a guy with a chip in his shoulder. What are you talking about?
Yes.
It's a boulder. Yep.
He would have welcomed him in with open arms. I truly believe that.
Yeah.
I truly believe that.
They would have competed. So take me a little deeper.
Yeah,
what do you see? Because I see the same thing, KJ. I see the same. And remember, this guy missed a lot of time in the offseason. This guy missed most of training camp. We debated about how much he would even play week two. And 2 weeks later, man, I don't know, some 130 snaps under his belt. What really resonates with you in his game?
First and foremost, when you said last week, I did not think that game one against the Detroit Lions, he would come on the scene like that. I really did not see that just from a physical standpoint, a conditioning standpoint. You know, I just thought he was going to come out there and try to get through the game, but he played dang near every snap, played every snap last week. And what I saw last week on this third down he just made, it was a curl route by the receiver. It was third down, and he was backing up, but he wasn't just bailing. He was anticipating the receiver about to make a stop, and I was like, that is a really good football IQ from a guy only in his second NFL game. When he breaking up that pass, going across the dig route, running, I call it jet streaming. When the guy's in coverage and he jet streams past the guy, that is really, really good football. And so now I see what they saw when he was at Illinois. Okay, this guy's a stud. This guy can tackle. He saw 11 tackles, 2 pass breakups. Next step is to give me the ball and give me a turnover.
Yeah.
And so to let you in on another conversation in the Legend Suite, let's talk Jackson Smith and Jigba. Right, he's been the talk of the town. I was watching. I was sitting next to Cam as well. And it was a third down, and it was a blitz coming, right? And I said, both Cam and I said, he got to throw it to Njigba. He's got to throw it right here to Njigba. And Njigba ran that 5-6 yard out, and it was a breakout pass. And a lot of fans are like, man, what's going on with Njigba? You know, what's happening here? The pass was late. It was a late pass by Geno. And the man only got 3 targets, Brock.
Mm-hmm.
The man only got 3 targets in the game.
Yep.
And so is he going to be fine? Yes. A lot of people are like, is he going to be okay? There's no need to worry about Njigba. He's going to be okay. The offensive coordinator, if he wants to maximize, you know, Njigba, draw plays for him. But the offense is just fine. You put up 37 points in back-to-back weeks.
They got so many people. They're trying to get involved. They got the tight ends involved really well in this game.
Kenneth Walker is looking good out of the backfield. You got 2 stud receivers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Zach Miller there?
Zach was there.
He seemed like a pretty important part of that team.
Oh, he was.
On the field.
He was.
I don't know about off the field, but on the field.
18, 19 for us.
Hey, was Marshawn still there? Was Marshawn there?
Friday and Saturday. He left Saturday night.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
he didn't want to be pictured with everybody.
I don't know why he left.
He didn't get to see Charbonnet do what Charbonnet did.
You guys didn't talk at all about that?
No.
Really?
No.
He knocked that dude 5 yards back?
That was a phenomenal play.
You guys are like, meh, whatever, no big deal. Marshawn would have hit him 7. I mean, like, come on.
I haven't seen a defensive back go flying like that probably ever. The dude literally went 7-8 yards
back. That's a pretty good little pop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what I would have told that legendary suite too? I would have said, guess what? A lot of your games in the first halves are boring too.
It's true.
All right?
Never.
Out of your offense
Never.
In the first half?
Never.
No. No. Let me tell you what it was. We got time?
No. Hold on. Tell us what it was in a minute. We'll take a quick break. KJ's got a lot to say. It's Brock and Saul. KJ Wright. Seattle Sports, 710, seattlesports.com.
This is Brock and Saul.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
So, KJ, I told Brock this story. I went to my daughter's cross-country meet yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and out in the rain, 4th through 8th grade cross-country, and I overheard one of the other coaches, not at Cecily School, one of the other coaches tell their kids right before the race, hey, don't be a hero out there. I don't want to see anybody get hurt in the rain. Make sure you don't run that hard.
Really?
What do you think of that?
I'm not for it.
You're not?
I'm not for it.
I give him a D
for his parenting advice.
Well, it was a coach, not a parent. It was a coach.
Oh, it was a coach.
It was a coach.
Even worse. I thought it was a parent.
Well, it may have been like a parental volunteer coach. I don't know.
Don't be a hero out there.
Yeah.
He didn't say give it all you got.
I didn't say it was a he. I'm just saying that they said, hey, don't be a hero. Don't run too hard out there. I don't want to see anybody get hurt.
And I was at my daughter's volleyball game yesterday, and this coach, we were slaughtering this team. And the coach is just sitting there. He was just sitting there, didn't call a timeout, didn't pep on the girls, didn't cheer them on, and I was thoroughly upset. Like, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility.
When you're a solver.
When you sign up to do this,
yep.
You have a responsibility.
Solve problems. That's your job. Go solve problems. So we had to run a break. We cut you off.
Yes.
Charbonnet just launched that dude. He gored him like 9 yards out of bounds, and you said something was going on up there in the suite. Mm-hmm. What?
Oh, so I was telling you what got us excited or why the excitement level wasn't there. That's what I was saying. Mm. Oh. When it's, let's say, a defensive battle, when it's, you know, nothing's going on, nothing's happening, you can make boring football look fun. Imagine, Brock, if we had 11 Devin Witherspoons out there. Imagine if we had that, guys making their plays, guys walking around, guys talking that talk, guys showboat. Imagine if we had 11 Devin Witherspoons on the football field. That would be some really exciting football. Whether it's a one-yard gain, a two-yard gain, a TFL, it's exciting. It gets the people excited. It gets everything. It's really good football. Yeah. It's really, really phenomenal football. When I saw it in the first half, it's like a play would get made. You know, it'll just be like, come on, like, give me something. Give me some juice. Give me some flavor. So when I said the game was boring, it was boring because, first of all, it's a lot of field goals. But when you make your plays, like, get excited. Like, it's hard to make plays in the NFL. Understand that. And so talk your stuff. Look at the crowd. You know, do a little showboating. Like, I was with my 2013 guys.
Right. They did a little of that.
The fans had a really good time in the crowd and watching on TV. And so that's why I said, that's why I want to see a new surge. I want to see a new surge of energy.
I don't think Charbonnet is going to be a guy who's going to talk much talk, but man, does he run hard.
He runs hard. And I asked the guy in the front office, I said, with running backs these days not getting the respect they get, we, you know, got the Jonathan Taylors, Josh Jacobs. He said, when I took Zach Charbonnet, he was the best football player on the board right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
He said he was the best football player, and same thing with Kenneth Walker. He was the best football player.
So let me play you something. Brock got really excited about this, something Pete told us on Monday, and I want to play it for you because it's kind of interesting. Pete told us a little bit of a story behind Charbonnet coming in for some end zone reps, some red zone reps.
Did you guys see the moment when Kenny gestured to leave Zach in the game so he get the chance to get the touchdown? Mm. And we threw the ball to freaking Bobo. You know, he didn't get a chance to run. The point that he recognized that he had earned his way down there and wanted to give him the love. And we were starting to sub, and he, you know, he wanted Zach to stand. I thought that was a great moment.
How important is that type of stuff?
I love that. I absolutely love that. When you say, Hey, stay out there. You got it. Go do your thing. You the best player. You work your way down there. That's the epitome of being a really good teammate. That's the epitome of being a really good friend. Like, understand, it's not about me in this situation. It's not about my stats. Now, I look at you. I see the work you put in during the week. You haven't gotten the end zone in your NFL career. This is a really cool opportunity for you. And, hey, go do your thing. Mm. And I like Charbonnet down there in the red zone. Mm. I love him. And I'm looking for our identity in the red zone as well. We got down there five times. What was it, five field goals?
We scored a couple at the start. And then they ended up scoring three straight times in the second half. So.
So I'm looking like, hey, Brock, you can answer this better than me. Like, what should be our identity when we get down the red zone? Are we going to just pound the ball, go downhill? Are we going to draw a place with DK Metcalf? Because, you know, 3 points, 7 points is a big-time difference.
Yeah, you know the best identity, and you know this from your perspective is, man, can they run it? Man, can they play pass? Man, can they go to their tight ends? Man, do they got a one-on-one they trust? Like, the more that you've got in the tool bag, and I think they've got a bunch of it, and you saw that come to life in the second half. If Saul hogged the first 7 or 8 minutes, which is great, I'm not saying it was bad radio. It was phenomenal. I'm going to hog the next 7 or 8 minutes for the football fans out there, right? The X's and O's that want a little bit deeper detail of all the conversations we have seemingly off-season.
I'm glad you're going to do that because before this hour is out, I'm going to go as far away from that as possible.
Okay.
So, yes, please do that.
Okay. Okay, good. Well, you're going to give me 7 or 8 minutes here of just talking straight football.
Get after it.
First and foremost, Jamal Adams is going to be back Monday night, back in his haunt, back where he started. Obviously, it was the Jets. It's the Giants. It's the same stadium. He's going to be back there. I have said on the air, I am so anxious, KJ, to watch how they utilize him.
Yes.
If you are Clint Hurt and you're the one scheming this week for Daniel Jones and Saquon and the Giants and all that they do and empty and mix and match, and Brian Dable's a pretty creative guy. How do you want to use Jamal Monday night?
Jamal, come on down here in this box. Come on down here 5, 6, 7 yards from the line of scrimmage, and you're going to be right here in the hooks. You're going to be buzzing to the flats. You're going to be making some strong tackles right across the middle, and you're going to be running sideline to sideline. And also, Jamal, understand is you're not going to play majority of this game. You're going to get about 25 plays, 25, maybe 30 in this football game. And so I'm really excited. Like I say this all the time, one of the most dynamic football players I have ever been around. He's top five in my books, Brock.
In terms of dynamic.
In terms of just dynamic as far as just
versatility.
Versatility, going from 0 to 100, just having the it factor, just make his plays, have a net for getting to the quarterback. He is one of the top five dynamic football players I've ever been around. And so I can't wait for him to come back. I know he's been working his tail off. And the expectations is, like, understand, he's been in a controlled environment for the past 10, 11 months. Understand, like, getting back on the football field, you got to get acclimated to your new body. You got to get acclimated to this new quad that you have. And so he's going to work his way back out there. And so it's up to the coaches and the training staff to make sure they limit the amount of time that he's out there on the football field.
Okay, this one's a little tougher question because we all love Bobby and beloved and Hall of Famer and everything else. Do you think there's a time where Bobby comes off the field on third downs?
Absolutely not.
Nope.
No chance.
Okay.
No chance.
What is going on third downs? That's a one number, right? And I'm going to get to run defense. I'm going to get to the front. Those are going to be the other football things. So three more. What is going on? 57% allowed, second worst in the league, only to the Bears, 60% on third downs. What is going on third down, the money down?
What is going on with the defense?
Yes.
Ooh, it's first of all, opposing teams are having a field day. And we're trying everything, Brock. We're going man-to-man. We're going quarters. We're going cover six. You saw a play, they're isolating what they're doing. I saw with the play with Thielen last year. If they look at the coverage pre-snap, they'll adjust guys and isolate a receiver on a linebacker. And so you best believe, like I told Quandre this when I saw him, I said, you guys have to got to start talking pre-snap. Like, hey, you play this way and you got to play that way. You got to see what the offense is trying to do before the ball is snapped. Talk about it pre-snap and formulate a really good game plan before this football is snapped. And so teams are having a field day, and so they're 31 on third down?
31st in the league, 57%. 57%. The Bears are 60%. I asked that Bobby question because it sure looked like to me in the second half, anytime they went zone, Andy Dalton found number 54. Right? Where's mm-hmm. 50? Like, I'm going to throw off of 54 as much as I possibly can. So you don't think there's a situation down the road that we see Jordan and Jamal inside? That we see maybe Julian Love at a nickel or a Witherspoon at a nickel if and Bush. When, right? Bush out there. And you don't think there's a situation where 54 comes off the field?
So let me ask you this before I answer that question. Let's get real here. Mm-hmm. You have legendary football players. You have guys that are going to be first ballot Hall of Famers. And I watched Ray Lewis in his last few years. And I was like, dang, Ray. He was like, what, year 17, year 18? But Ray Lewis played every single snap because of not only what he brought from a mental standpoint, not from a physical standpoint, but he is the guy that you can't see a number 52 on the sideline. You cannot see a number 52 on the sideline from a fan base standpoint, from a coach's standpoint. We're going to make this work some way, somehow. And when it comes to Bobby, Bobby is not going to leave the football field because of what he's done in his career and what he is still doing to this day. And so what you have to do as a player, and I told Quandre this, like, you got to see, like, okay, this is the way they're going to attack us. Bobby, mm-hmm. you play low. If he runs a 9-yard stop, you better pick the football. Yeah. And if he runs over the top, let him lob it over you. I'll be there for you. And so your brothers and your teammates got to be there for you if you see that teams are starting to attack you.
Okay, so that's a negative. That's the bottom of the league. Top five in the league is your rush defense. Your yards per rush allowed is phenomenal. 2.5 yards better than a season ago. What are they doing in their run fits? What are they doing in their run scheme to correct a problem that I think Salk asked you about 912 times last year with their rush defense?
And I'm going to be honest. You saw last year. It was at the very bottom. And we talked about it all offseason. Can they stop the run? They bring in Draymond Jones. They lose Big Al. And they really emphasize and they bring in this box in. They got the overfront. They got the bare front. They brought number 54 back. Jordan Brooks is who I believe is playing really, really good football. He's going downhill. Bobby's going downhill. The corners are in the run fits. And so, Brock, it just simply has been emphasized. It has been emphasized. We're going to throw some different stuff at them. We're going to go over. We're going to go bare. We're going to bring 8-man box. And, guys, go downhill. We don't have Cody Barton here just going lateral and sideline to sideline, getting suffocated by blocks. We got guys that are really going downhill and making their big-time plays.
How much of the ends played a role in that? I know at the beginning we were sort of calling them outside linebackers. Brock is encouraging me to call them defensive ends just based on what he's seen. But the Nwosus, the Boye Mafes, Derek Hall, what are those guys doing in the run game specifically?
What they're doing is they are, first of all, constricting they're constricting the line of scrimmage. And so when it happens, when you got plays on the perimeter, you can hold the edge, but if you're holding the edge like 6-7 yards going towards the sideline, that creates too much space in the middle. So when you got two strong, solid, just men taking on those tight ends, taking on those tackles, keeping everything tight for Bobby, for Jordan Brooks, that does wonders for off the ball linebacker. That brings the party to a Jay Reed. And so when you have that scheme, when you have those guys right there well coached, that does wonders for those guys in the middle.
How did you feel when your job on a play was to set the edge rather than to flow?
I hated it. Who wants to do that for a living? Who doesn't? You know, I want to hear my name get called.
Right.
And so what I did, me being
say
a
say my name, say my name.
Please stop.
No one is around you. Say, KJ, I love that's you. That's what he wanted.
Exactly. But there's ways you could find creative ways to set the edge, defeat the tight end. Don't let them block you. Defeat the tight end and go make your plays. And now, Brock, let's take this a next step further. Let's go to first and second down with Jamal Adams. Or let's go to second and 12. We got nickel. Who's coming in on nickel? What I'm doing, if I'm the coach, second down, I'm going big nickel this game.
Big nickel.
You guys know what big nickel is?
Oh, I sure do. Do I know what big nickel is?
No, you don't know what it is.
I've asked Coach Carroll about big nickel like 300 times to the point where he finally talked about me in a press conference.
I'm going to put you on the spot. What's big nickel?
When you bring in a third safety instead of a third cornerback.
Okay, so
get out of here.
Say my name. Say my name.
What do you think? I was born yesterday?
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Play me some Beyonce.
So
how dare you?
So Jamal Adams.
I'm insulted.
I'm sorry. Jamal Adams, you come in, you're the nickel, and we got Jordan Brooks, and we got Bobby and Jordan Love and Quandre Diggs on the back end. That's what I want to see on second down, first down even. They did it with Devin Bush last week.
Yep.
They did it with Devin Bush. If you saw, it was 11 personnel.
I think that's because they were out of corners.
Yeah.
I'm not even really joking. I mean, at some point when Trey Brown was done, like, I think they were just about out of corners. It's going to look a little different when all of a sudden you get, you know, Reek Woolen back this week and Witherspoon's played the way he has the last couple of weeks. They may decide to wait another week with Reek just because you got the bye after that. You know how they are. They like to give you 2 weeks instead of one, right? So who knows? But all of a sudden, you know, you've got a lot more options of how you can play that.
Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be Jamal. Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to be the guy. It's going to be Jordan Brooks. And, man, that hurt my heart when y'all asked that question about getting taken off the field.
No.
Because
Broadcasted.
No. Because
I would never suggest that.
No. Because, no, honestly, it happened to me. It happened to me my last few years.
Came off the field on a third down.
And Coach Norton, he had to have a real heart-to-heart conversation with me.
I guess the problem is, look, KJ, as great as Bobby is, let's go back to your Ray Lewis example. Could they have been better if Ray Lewis wasn't? Would Belichick have let Ray Lewis stay on the field on those third downs?
Nope.
No.
Is it the best thing for the football team? Is what he brings in terms of his mental, emotional, et cetera, enough to, and I don't know what he looks like in third down coverage. I honestly don't know. I leave that to you guys. I may know what a big nickel is, but I have no idea whether Bobby's in the right spot defending. But I'll listen to people who tell me that that's a place that they're picking on them a little bit. Could they be better off another way?
Before I answer the question, let me ask you this. Ray Lewis's last year, did they win the Super Bowl?
Is that the year they won?
Yes.
That's kind of crazy.
Yes. Yeah. They won the Super Bowl Ray Lewis's last year. There's something to talk about presence on the football field. There's something about presence.
Cool.
I can't explain it, but there's just
But were they 31st and third down conversions allowed that year also? I'm going to guess no.
Hold on. I want to get back to that heart-to-heart. You interrupted him.
Sorry.
He was about to pour out his soul.
You're right. I'm sorry.
Talk to me about Ken Norton. I saw Ken Norton this weekend, by the way, UCLA linebacker coach. Guys played great. Yeah. He looked good. He looked tan down there in Westwood. Anyway, take me into that phone call with you and Ken.
No, it was face-to-face. It was face-to-face. And here I am. Top of my game, year nine. I'm, you know, coming off an injury. I'm playing really good. And it's like, hey, man, you know. So, and before I say this, Brock, some stuff is above the defensive coordinator's heads. A defensive coordinator has to answer up to higher ups. We understand that. And it's like, we gotta go dime this week on third down. You coming off the field. So I'm like, here I am in my mind, like, I've played really, really, really good football my entire life, my entire career. This team is better with me on the football field. So you want to take me out and put a Ryan Neal in. That's what's going on in my brain. And so you're faced with that decision as a player. Do I mope? Do I pout? Do I throw a tantrum? Or do I support my teammates and support my guys and be like, okay, this is what you say. I'm going to lose this battle anyway. I'm going to lose this battle anyway. or do I go out there and support my team? And so you faced with that decision as a player. Like, if a coach does come to you, how do you respond?
Yeah.
Do you look at yourself and be like, this is some BS. This is some bull crap. Does that ego start to creep in? Or do you be like, you know, I don't like this, but I'm going to do what's best for the football team.
Well, I think because in the coach's mind, they don't think you're not a good football player. They're trying to get your best in all spots. And they're saying in this instance, in this situation, somebody is better at it than you are. But not that he's a better football player than you, but you're probably not wanting to hear that.
I'm using
logic and you don't hear that.
You saying that, but what the person is interpreting in their head is like, we interpret that as athletes, is like, I'm not good enough.
Right.
Or I'm a liability, or I'm a casualty on this football field. And so, you take it personal. Your feelings do get hurt. You do get angry when you've never left the football field. But when they call dime, when they call nickel, you're trotting off the football field. That's not a good feeling.
I have to ask this, Burke. I tried to ask you about it yesterday.
Is this a personal one?
It's a little personal. I got to get a little personal.
Oh yeah.
I got to get a little personal with your experience.
Take a sip of my water.
Take a sip of your water. Compose yourself for a minute. What is it like? And I know that you haven't fully experienced what we saw this weekend, but it was close. What is it like having a teammate start to date somebody that is stupid famous, that is just out of control, right? Unbelievably famous. And I don't think Sierra is quite at the same level of fame as Taylor Swift, who right now might be the most famous woman in the world. I mean, she is out of control.
Yes.
When she showed up at that game on Sunday to watch Travis Kelce, it was the story everywhere.
Yes.
His jersey sales went up by 400%. He gained 400,000 Instagram followers that day. It is the biggest story, not in sports, everywhere else. The Swifties
are coming to the This podcast went to number one.
Did it really? Is that true? I didn't even hear that part of it.
Oh, yeah.
It is the biggest. What is it like for his teammates?
Well, first of all, Salk, I did not think you was going to ask anything remotely close to that. This man said personal. This ain't got nothing to do with me.
No, I know, but like,
what? You ain't a Swiftie?
I don't know about no Taylor Swift.
I was expecting something else as well.
I thought I was about to start crying again on this show.
No, I don't want you crying.
What is it like when your teammate dates someone famous?
Yeah.
It's cool. It's actually really, really fun. Like, let's just use Sierra, for example. When Sierra came here, she was so nice. So like, okay, this is Sierra. Like, this girl we grew up watching. And my family, like, Sierra, can we get a picture? Like, can we do? It is really, really fun when your teammate, I guess, dates someone that's famous.
Yeah.
And when I know for Taylor Swift and Kelce, I'm sure he's getting joked around. You know, they get asked some personal questions in the locker room. I'm sure some stuff is going around. And so, it's cool. It's fun. When I saw her up there cheering, high-fiving.
It's a pretty awesome idea of, like, shooting your shot. I was like, he's like, whatever. And I'm not a Travis Kelce fan. Justin and I are very much on the record. We are anti-Kelce.
But what's crazy, I don't know if you're paying attention, but people are asking, did Travis Kelce, like, downgrade? They put up a picture of his ex-girlfriend, Taylor Swift. Have you seen that?
No.
What?
I mean, if you see his other...
She's real pretty. Wow.
She's a stallion. She's a stallion, yeah. She's a stallion. I hope my wife's not listening. But, it's fun when a celebrity comes around. Who wouldn't want to see a celebrity?
Well, I would think it would be fun, right? I mean, like, I wasn't suggesting that there was anything crazy, but dating pop royalty like that, do you feel like they're in any way, like, they move into, like, a different sphere in some way?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
You know, when Hollywood creeps in?
Yeah.
Hollywood creeps in. Mm-hmm. And, it's human nature to, I'm not going to say get distracted, but Brock, when you got hundreds, millions of dollars, when you're around the best of the best, when you live in Calabasas, it's a different lifestyle.
You think differently. You talk differently. You eat differently. And you best believe, like, that starts to creep into your...
She's got so much more money. I mean, it's not even like a... I mean, he makes money.
I know.
But she's got money. She's going to be a billionaire.
We're talking Amalfi Coast. We're talking going to the Met Gala. We're talking eating caviar for snacks. It's a whole different lifestyle.
How do you hang with your teammates after that?
I'm going to say you don't, but...
Brady found a way.
He did.
Good.
Yeah. Right. I mean, Brady's the only other example I can really come up, because Ciara is very famous. She's not Taylor Swift as much as she's very famous.
Yeah. And Giselle.
Giselle's at that level of fame, right?
Of Taylor Swift?
Mm-mm. No.
Taylor Swift above her.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Giselle's pretty big, though. International fame.
In this country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Swiftie's way bigger.
But I can't wait. What the story with them two is going to be in the off season. Right, when they traveling the world, when they're doing all this stuff, doing TikTok videos. For now, Travis, stay focused. You got a Super Bowl to go, try to win.
Bro, did you see his outfit post-game? There's nothing focused.
Yeah, that's unfocused.
What was that? What, he had that big...
I don't know what I would call that. It was blue and...
It looked like a denim...
it wasn't good.
Watercolor.
Let's just say it wasn't good.
He's not Russell Westbrook level. He looks a little swaggy. Yeah. I could pull off a Travis Kelce.
Okay, last minute.
People out there who believe that because she's from Pennsylvania, she's trying to sabotage the Chiefs in order to help the Eagles win the Super Bowl this year.
Oh, interesting.
This is
bad blood between
those
states? Yes,
that there's bad blood. Nice job, Brock.
That's too deep.
Very
that's
good.
Too deep.
That good.
Hey, I got 1 minute. KJ, 1 minute. Back to football. You like this matchup?
I'm confident.
You're confident?
I'm confident. I watched film on Daniel Jones, and people give him such riffraff. Like, he's not good. He's not talented. He has thrown 2 touchdowns to 4 interceptions, but his play-action game in particular and shotgun, the guy can make some noise. Mm-hmm. He can make some decent noise, and he obviously can beat you with his legs. And so I'm not sleeping on this Giants team. I am confident. Mission number one, priority number one, is stop number 12. Mm. They drop a lot of plays for Dan Waller. They drop a lot of plays. And they're not going to run to his side. If they run an 18 force to his side out of solo personnel, I give somebody $100. And so let's be aware of that. I wish I could just go give – you know what? Coach Kerr, if you can hear me this, I wish I could just go give these guys a breakdown every week and just lay it on their table. This is the game. This is what's going to happen.
You can do that. You're called an assistant linebacker coach. Right. I think they've asked you to do that, but don't do that.
That's
staying
with us.
Okay. You're staying with us.
Well, Coach Carroll, forget what I just said.
Not interested in that. Brock, how come you didn't tell KJ where you're going right now? I mean, with the 2013 team all meeting, you're about to go meet a key member of that season.
Yeah, in 6 minutes, I'm going to jump on a Zoom here with Jim Harbaugh. You got a question for Jim Harbaugh? He's now the Michigan coach. Michigan and Nebraska. Jim Harbaugh.
Brock's got Michigan and Nebraska this week.
Remember his deal? Do you remember Jim Harbaugh's deal?
He was
at all?
A pretty important figure in that season.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of it. I don't have a question for you. Tell him I said hello.
I will.
Tell him I said hello.
You like Jim Harbaugh?
Yeah. Sherman Doug. Don't.
No, they don't. Yeah, you know what? I think I actually heard this about them. Right. I think that's actually what Earl said when asked why he didn't show up at the event this past week.
So y'all know I'm my daughter's commentator for volleyball games. I played a Taylor Swift song.
Yeah.
When I tell you the crowd
they go nuts.
Went crazy.
KJ.
The crowd went crazy when I played a Swiftie
KJ,
song.
KJ, there's nothing like it. People love her.
I got to add her to my playlist.
All right. There we go. KJ's adding T-Swift to the playlist. We got to get out of here. KJ, thank you. Great stuff, as always. We have a Monday night game next week, so a little abbreviated week, and then we'll be in on Wednesday with KJ. Brock, go have fun with Harbaugh. Find out about Fred Dwumfor's house.
I'm going to.
And I'll be right back. It's Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.